Baumgart. Want to talk a bit about the history of the project, its organization, slight view into the features it provides, the architecture, how it is set up, some aspects of quality assurance that we surely need in the world of application development, and at the end, as usual, look into the future on our plans, what we want to do with this application. Now, the project started somewhere around 2000-2001 by a guy named Michael Edwardes. He's UK-based, and around the same time, in August 2001, I was looking for the replacement of the last application I used on my Microsoft Windows desktop, which was Microsoft Money. And I came across a couple applications, but I didn't find the one that suits my needs. So reading an article in a German Linux magazine, I came across KMyMoney. And well, I started out by writing patches the usual way, and soon after got involved into the project a lot more. The first stable release of the project was released in around 2002. And in fact, a first French translation got delivered in 2003. Today, we have a lot more translation, even simplified Chinese, which I can't read. I just drop it in the files. I hope they're correct. The future next stable release is planned for this year. It will support a lot of new features that we don't have in the last stable release. The last cycle was rather long, took us about 2 years to finish up this major rewrite of the application. On the slide, you see the progress of the development. It's a small group of developers, which consists currently out of six people spread out all over the world. In fact, since a couple of weeks, we do have a usability engineer who's taking care of the things that Celeste reported yesterday. He still needs to be integrated into the team a bit more so that we can get more feedback out of this person. He's showing us what is bad about the application, but he doesn't give us some ideas of how to make it better. We're in the strong position to have an artist on the team. He's also responsible for the nice pictures that you see on the slides and the layout of the slides as well. This is something I could have not done myself, so thanks to Rob for his work there. The project itself, as many of those, is hosted on the SourceForge platform. That's where Michael initially dropped it, and we stayed there and use all the services that that SourceForge provides these days. We do have something what we call a project handbook, where we have written down the procedures and rules that we want to follow while developing this application. So it has chapters about how to identify your indent, how to indent your code, as well as procedures, how to build a package, what measures should be taken to assure quality, and things like that. Unfortunately, over time, there have grown some bug tracking entries in other bug trackers. This is a problem for us because we cannot follow all those bug trackers. We do follow the one on SourceForge mainly, and some of our developers are looking into the other ones as well, but this is a real problem in application development because we don't have a centralized repository where we can store those bug entries. Well, we do have the mailing list. This is our main source and of information and communication. It's divided into a users part, which is low volume and is more geared towards the needs of the end user, and a developer mailing list where we discuss also technical details. Besides that, the active developers are monitoring the distros, and they're using different distros. This gives us the capability to actually support the application right from scratch on various distros and figure out problems early on. Besides that, we have various numbers of packagers who are packaging the application for various formats and distros. Some of them are working strictly on the source tarballs that we deliver. Others do live on the bleeding edge and provide packages even out of our CVS storage. Well, it's all about the user, and we have a section on our website what we call user compliments, and I just went through and actually found so many items that explained the situation I was in. I was looking for an application to actually cut off my system using the other operating system, and I'm not alone out there. We have so many comments saying, oh, this is the last one we want to get rid of, so now I can turn off my Windows box. Well, apparently there's a need for such an application. And it's good to have the user feedback. The application itself, and don't worry about the blurriness on the screen that you see. It's not caused by the build from last night. I did this on purpose because this is actually my personal data. And I think it's just logical that I don't want to share each and every little bit of it here in the presentation. That's how the application looks like. Many of you might have seen it and might have even used it. I don't know. So it's divided into the left pane, showing all the different views that we have, and on the right pane there's the actual view, showing here to the left the accounts, where we store all the financial data representing your assets and liabilities, like your checking account, like your credit card account, like assets, your house, your flat, your jewelry if you have some, or something like that. Well, in the same time, on the right side you see the expense and income categories. That's where you can categorize your expenditures and incomes. Where does the money come from and where does it go to? And that's actually what you want to do with this application. You want to keep control of your spendings and incomes. Another view, and that's probably the main view that people work in when they collect data and enter data, is the ledger view to the left. Divided into two parts, the ledger itself up on the in the middle, and on the bottom there's the form where you have a single transaction laid out, and you can categorize it, assign a category, assign a payee or payer, define the date when the transaction happened, things like that. To the right you see the so-called split transaction editor. Of course you get, like me, I picked my monthly salary payment here, which is divided in so many things. I have to pay taxes on it, I have to pay social insurance, there's maybe a bonus or something coming in, and stuff like that. I just divided that up into different splits, have the values of the single splits on the right side, and it all sums up to the money that actually goes into my account. Of course, the gross amount is much higher than what I see at the end in my account. But I can keep track of it very easily. Well, we do support multiple currencies. So if you live across the border or near a border where you have different currencies and accounts in one country or another, then that shouldn't be a problem. Also, when you travel around, you can register your transactions there using different currencies. And we do have reporting. Well, you can collect all the data, but it's not a good a good thing to have if you collect all the data but you don't get any information out of it. So you have a substantial set of pre-configured reports that you can manage or modify yourself to your own needs, and you get standard reports for income and expense reports, your net worth report, so you see how you make over time. Are you gaining money? Are you losing money? Tax reports are among them. and a lot of others. So basically, reports are divided into parts, textual, table-driven, or table-based report, and graph reports. So here you see my personal income expense graph, which currently looks pretty good. So with one single view, I can see, okay, I'm not doing too bad. This is on a monthly basis, and I picked the right month. Okay, compared to other programs in this area, maybe like Nucash as one of the prominent members, we do hide the double accounting principles under the hood, so the actual user does not see that we do double accounting, because double accounting is something you don't want to see as a normal user because you don't understand it. So we do a pretty good job as on hiding it underneath the hood and the GUI. But inside, all the logic is double accounting driven. Well, if you receive a statement from your bank about your account, you want to do a reconciliation and see how this matches your own data. We have wizards that help you in doing so. We do support schedules. So you can actually schedule a transaction saying, okay, this is a recurring transaction, recurs every month, like your income or your loan payment, or it is bi-monthly or semi-annual or something like that. You can do forecasting based on the historic data that you collected. You can see, okay, if spending and income habits continue like that, how do I end up in a year from now? You get data for that, and you can do budgeting. Budgeting is one of the features that we built in the last development cycle. So you can actually set up a budget at the beginning of a year, specify, okay, I want to spend that much money on that category, and then during the year you can follow this path and see how you're doing. And probably if you're spending too much, take corrective actions. Well, for those users who are coming from different applications, we do support importers, which read standard, so-called standard formats, because each standard has many, many variations. One of the prominent ones is Quicken Interchange format, where not only different vendors use it differently, but Quicken itself uses it in different variations. Makes it not too easy to write those guys. We do support GNUcache importers, so if someone's coming from GNUcache, we can read their files natively, and we do support OFX import for the online banking used in the UK and US, and don't know about Australia, what these guys are using. Same with the online banking, so you can actually connect directly to your bank out of the account, say update my account, and you get all the new transactions that are kept by the bank using the two prominent formats, OFX and HBCI, which is only available with German banks. Well, I skipped the one item at the top, because that is one of the things that I haven't found in other applications of this kind, is secure file encryption using GPG. What we do is transparently for the user, we sign or we encrypt the data of the flat file using GPG with his own personal key, and we do the decryption on loading time. So data on the disk is stored in a secure manner. Well, that's how the application is set up. At the top, you have the actual GUI and the business logic, and then underneath it's split up in a layer where we do hold all our data that is made up out of the account data, payees, transaction, things like that. And we have an interface towards a storage. The storage can consist out of a flat file in various formats, or a relational database system. It doesn't matter. The interface or the data engine part and the GUI part don't change if you just hook up a different storage. So you see we do support plain XML. We use the KIO filter to write the data compressed in gzip format. We have the GPG encryption right there. And we do have an anonymized format, which is very helpful during debugging. Because like I blurred my data, our users don't want to send in their data files if they have problems. So what we can do, we can have them write it out using the anonymized file format, which scrambles all the data, all their financial values and names and account names and stuff like that to just the internal used IDs. And they can safely send that to us for further analysis. This has been very helpful in the past. Also, we do have a plugin interface, which is currently used by the OFX and AQ Banking. AQ Banking is another open source project driven by Martin Preuss in Germany. He's doing all the online stuff for HBCI. A couple things about the plugin infrastructure. So we have different interfaces that we provide from the application, which is shown in the dark green. And the lighter green is the actual plugin that plugs into the infrastructure. Now, the Quiff plugin is just simple. It's reading a file and importing the data. With OFX, this gets a bit more complicated. And we have a third layer, which is libOFX, that is another open source library. So in the middle, we just present the glue code that does the transformation about, between KMyMoney and the library. And it's getting more complex. The same thing with AQ Banking. AQ Banking itself presents us a file importer and the online banking stuff with the various formats. But it's very powerful, and we don't actually have to deal with all the details within KMyMoney. A couple things about quality assurance. We do have nightly test bills, unit test cases, procedures. I mentioned already developers using different distros and things like that. And the new stuff is usability engineering, something we really have to get used to. And I think we will get a boost out of that once we understand how this works and how to work with these people. So the usage. Where's KMyMoney used? Of course, personal finance management. Everyone can do it for their home finances. But we do have usage also in small businesses. I know of a guy, a German guy, who is working in Central Africa. He's running a bookstore with that. And he's using KMyMoney to keep track of the books. How many does he have on stock and how much do they cost? We have a couple IT consultants who use it to run their business. And we do have nonprofit organizations who use it. And there might be more that I'm not aware of. Future plans. Of course, there is a port to KDE 4. But before that, we do have some other plans to wrap up the website that we have. We're thinking about implementing it as a K-part so that it can be integrated in other applications. I'm in contact with Klaus Freitag about integrating it with his application, Kraft, things like that. Nothing has been decided yet or what we do, but KDE 4 and probably the move into the KDE repository is one of the major steps that we will follow. We do need some help on that, of course. So if you feel you fit into this project and want to do a little bit more, any of this help is appreciated very much. And so think about it. Well, we have some prominent users that I came across. It's the president of the Free Software Foundation in Europe. And so very well-known Kevin over there, and of course myself. So this wraps up my presentation. Hope you enjoyed it. And we're now open 5 minutes questions.